All right, folks, welcome to ninoscorner.tv. This is going to be a fun episode. This is something a little bit different. I like to dive into this stuff occasionally, and it's very intriguing to me. I love anything that has to do with crypto or cryptid, I guess you would say cryptids. Sasquatch, Dogman, the whole thing. I really believe that, and I get laughed at a lot by people, but I really do believe these things exist. Whether they're government laboratory experiments or just another one of God's creatures, whatever it is, I don't know what they are. Off-world, interdimensional beings, I don't know. But I'm with Nick Sylvester, who's going to help me figure this out. You've had a lot of people email you on this subject regarding cryptids, I guess mainly the Dogman, right? Today we're talking about the Dogman. But before we get into this, folks, I'm going to go into some noble gold. Get your noble gold. Feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just here straight from the folks. They've helped. That's me. They've helped me a lot. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I can finally sleep easy at night, and that's a hard thing for me to do. Now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver, the America the Beautiful coin. If you qualify for an IRA, invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments, folks. Noble Gold Investments, noblegoldinvestors.com. Go to the link below. Get yourself some gold. Get started on it, folks. You won't regret it. We're coming into some very, very hard times. Nick, this is a subject that's people stay away from, especially people like me that are, you're a truther. You're an avid researcher. But you've come in contact with whistleblowers, correct, on this subject?
Well, you know, Nino, I mean, yeah, a lot of people, I've been on a lot of people's shows, you know, you name it, Simon Parks, Charlie Ward, Nick Vinyaman, you know, all of the gang. I'm a very close friend with Laura Eisenhower. Yeah, you know, I do my own show with my buddy Dylan out of Sydney, Australia. It's called The Bridge with Nick and Dylan on Rumble. I mean, I'm basically like you. I've been in the truther community since the beginning. But like you, I find a very strong personal interest in the cryptid zoology field. I have ever since I was a kid. That includes all things UFO, all things, you know, metaphysical, spiritual, you know, ever since I was a kid, I've always known they exist. I've never had any doubts. And throughout my life, I simply research that stuff. You know, I come across people that are very, very attuned. I've personally known, had friends that were Bigfoot researchers. You know, the guys that go out and, you know, they'll camp for a month up in the middle of nowhere and they'll take all their equipment. But, you know, there's some information that's really, really important that I want to pass along. But before I do, look, what is all this about, my friend? You know, this is about the cabal and the control that they have on our consciousness, okay? They have a control on our belief system. It's important, you know, because like you said a minute ago, you know, people think I'm crazy, they'll laugh at you. They do that for a reason. The cabal has created a monopoly on what people are allowed to believe.
On consciousness. On consciousness. They have a monopoly on consciousness. You know,
they do.
You know, and an example of that is I was just driving the other day and I was looking at all the traffic and everyone in the cars. And I was thinking to myself, these people all do the same thing. They get up at 8 a.m. They go drive to work. They come back, they take their kid to Little League soccer or baseball. They go turn on the night and evening news and do it all over again the next day. They are trapped in this consciousness-controlled bubble. And you are there to be a hamster on a wheel. Never think outside the box. You're just that little fish in the aquarium, not understanding there's a whole ocean out there, a whole universe out there. All you know is your little tank. You know, and I think about that with human beings, and we are the most imprisoned out of all animals. You know, it's like you look at a bird that's in a cage, and I feel so bad. I mean, that's the last animal you want to see in a cage, but we're worse. human beings are worse because we think we're free and we are not. Do you agree with that?
We are not. We are not. And this is what's important. The reason I want to talk about this topic, because this is a prime example of what people are not allowed to believe in, not allowed to talk about. And I just want to make this point, because here we are 4 years into this truth or thing minimum. I mean, it's been going on for a long time, and we still have people, followers, viewers, and truthers that still do not believe in things such as a Bigfoot or even UFOs. I mean,
they laugh at you.
Look, every civilization on the planet since the beginning of recorded history have been telling stories about these things, about Bigfoot, about UFOs. There are thousands of books written, millions of eyewitnesses. And because our current tells us they don't exist, we still, because of hypnosis, believe that. We still, after all this time, we say, you know what? We know they lie about everything, but I'm going to believe them. I believe that they don't exist. Guys, we got to stop it. It's been a long time. It's time, especially the more advanced truthers, it's time for us to break out of the box. Because look, Nino, they have things called gatekeepers, scientists, they have educators, they have the box of religion. And all of these people tell us, we have all of the information. There's nothing else that you could possibly know that we don't know. They're put there for a reason, to keep the consciousness in a controllable spot for them. All right. So I wanted to get that out of the way, because many people on your show are not going to believe the things I'm going to say. Okay. They're not. I urge them to please try to have an open mind and realize who has your belief system.
I had a Steve from How to Hunt on my show, and he's a great guy. And he was reading me some emails that people send him, like scientists that work at, like, I can't say, I don't think he wants me to say, but within the government, that has sent him some emails just stating about Bigfoot and how they are real and how they are seen in certain places that you would never expect, and what they are and how they can come in and out of our reality, basically. So these things are very, very advanced.
Let's get started, because this stuff is deep. I mean, I'm telling you, you've never heard anything like this. All right.
And one more thing he said is that if we knew about how these beings exist and how they're able to come in and out of our dimension, we would understand we would no longer have limitations, and we would be able to free our, because we would understand that these creatures do it. They're able to come in and out of this matrix. They're not part of this matrix. And we would understand free energy and our freedoms and our true liberties of being a natural and free creature from God. You know, we're trapped.
The only thing holding us back at this point is our consciousness, is our belief structure, the system we're in, because we are way farther along than people really know.
Right.
Okay, because there are four groups left on the planet of system of belief, of timelines. All right, real quick, one group, the biggest group, are still the people who know nothing. Everything's normal. They're Nino's friends that drive down the freeway, go to work, go home. They don't even watch the news. Many people do not even watch mainstream. They know nothing. All right, group two, the people watch mainstream. The people that take that's group two. Group three, and now this is important. The group three are the truthers, patriots, the people that are awake, but they follow the movie. The movie is not exactly what's really going on. Okay. Group four are the people that get into the metaphysics and the cryptozoology and that know what's behind the movie. But it's important Like, for instance, your good buddy Juano Savin. I mean, I've sat down and talked to him in person a couple of times at a couple different events. He knows way more than he is allowed to say, because
Correct.
he is sort of the director of this movie. It's important because if you get too far ahead of people's belief structures, they'll tune out. They'll
100%.
simply tune out.
Cognitive dissonance. They'll just put their head in their sand. It's too much for them. They short circuit and they just turn it off immediately. I have friends like that.
Yes.
I have friends like that. And you try to bring anything to their attention, bam, that's it. They don't want to hear it. They start laughing because it's a nervous laugh.
They're not capable. It's not like, you can't get mad at them, but they're not at the level of soul progression. They're not at the level of being able to have that discernment to realize what's true and what are boxes. It's as simple as that. So the things I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe, some of you. All right, let's dive in, and then you can ask some questions. I want to give some credit out to a gentleman named Jeff Nadolny. Jeff Nadolny, he's got a Dog Man channel on YouTube. The guy's a phenomenal researcher. He is an eyewitness of Dog Men personally. He has put out thousands of videos over the last 5, 6 years. A whistleblower sought him out. Nino, how whistleblowers will seek out a specific avenue to deliver their information. A lot of this information comes from him. He's been talking in and on and off of this channel for probably a year. I've been listening to him for over a year. All right, I've listened to I don't know how many shows from him, and some of this comes from him. I've tried to get him on my show. He's a ghost. He's impossible to sort of apprehend. And maybe you can help me down the road getting this guy on the show. But all right, let's get started. Dog men and werewolves, they both exist. They are different. Okay. They are very specifically different. I want to kind of describe these creatures from the description of this gentleman. His name is Victor Chip Johnson. He was a brigadier general in the military, as well as a member of the three-letter agency we most know, as well as a black ops project for the breeding program of the werewolf.
The
Not the dog man, but the werewolf.
breeding program.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
There's been a breeding program of these creatures, Nino, since 1952 and 1954.
Wow.
All right, the breeding program that this general was in charge of was in Virginia. Large operation, above ground, underground, breeding operation. The origin of the breeding program started in 1952 in Louisiana. The government was able to capture three male and 14 female werewolves, and they transported them to
Now, when you say
their
werewolves, are you
operation in
talking
Virginia.
about humans that turn into wolves, or are you talking about what is a werewolf exactly?
I'm going to describe that. I just want to kind of give you a brief on how long this has been going on. And this is a operation, a breeding program, a mating, breeding, raising these creatures, teaching them, training them to be super soldiers. All right. The dog man is kind of what it sounds. It's a bipedal, wolf-like creature. The head looks exactly like a giant wolf. Red eyes, glowing red eyes.
That's who that many accounts
And
have said that, yeah.
they're internally generated. That's not eye shine. All right. They are internally generated red. If there's no light anywhere, you can see them from a long way away. And they're usually 7 to 8 feet tall, and they're very lean. They're built like a wide receiver. maybe like a, like a Shannon Sharp, not a Shannon, like a
yeah, I
Michael
know
Irvin or
no body
whatever.
fat, just athletic.
Yes. Extremely buff, but their lower end looks very, very lean. And everybody who sees them remarks on how that's the case. They usually will weigh between 250 to maybe 400 pounds, the big males. The Dogman does have a tail. It's bushy, and it's between 2 to 4 feet long. So you really can't miss the tail. They spend a lot of time on all fours, but they look weird. They look odd, like the front end is too high. And anyway, they have
like they don't look comfortable on all fours. They're basically they look, it's more impressive to see them standing bipedal, right?
Most people see them first on all fours.
Wow.
And when they're noticed, they'll just stand up and start walking around. They have dog like legs, the reverse hawk leg with the dog type.
They don't have human legs.
No, they do not.
Okay.
The dogmen do not.
Okay.
No. They just look like a giant wolf that can stand up.
But with a human body?
Yeah. You can see the abs, the six pack. You can see the pecs.
Wow.
The chest and stomach area don't have a lot of fur. Most of their fur is, they have a thick mane around their head that's about twice the size of a timber wolf. Usually people will say, and it seems that their mouth don't really hold their teeth very well. It's almost like they have too many teeth for their mouth.
So it's almost like maybe these were genetic experiments.
Well, I can get into that, but according to cosmic history and the law of one, that's not the case.
Okay.
I'm a serious law of one studier, and these creatures, according to the law of one, according to Ra and the channelings of Ra, they have been on the planet for 500,000 years. The background of them was they have a human soul. They have a third density soul, a second density animal body. All right. So, this gets really.
I get it. I understand that. So they're like an animal with a human soul.
Correct.
Wow.
Extremely high intelligence. Extremely high. Anyway, very aggressive. They have human hands, but with extremely long nails. They're measured in between 3 and 4 inches. Victor says that, he studies each one of these creatures pretty extensively. So there is no maybe or no, that's not true. You know, these things are documented, cataloged. And they have been by the government for about 70 years. All right. There are tens of thousands of examples, of these creatures alive and dead. So it's not a matter of, I don't agree with that. It doesn't really matter. This gentleman, he was in charge of the breeding program, but he was also in charge of the hunting program. You see, when these things go rogue, and they do, just like any MK Ultra human, you train to be a super soldier, things can go awry. And he and a team have been sent to hunt the ones down that have killed humans. Let me ask you this.
Life, do they break away from do they travel in a pack, and do some go rogue? Does that mean that it goes off on its own and starts going into places that it should not be in public areas, or like, how does that even happen?
That's correct. Well, what your viewers will be really pleased to know is these things live in our national parks. Once
that would go for
training,
so many accounts of people being
set
missing.
Free. Yes, that is correct. They live in all the national parks, all the wildlife reserve, all of the federal owned land, all over the planet. I'm only going to speak about mainly in the United States because that's most of the information we know, but they're everywhere. The three-letter agency, this operation, all of these creatures have been shipped. They know exactly where each of them are to a coordinate. he's able to tell you exactly how many dogmen and werewolves are in a specific county in the country to the number. This
so let
is
me
a
ask you
very
this. So like,
systematic thing.
So let me ask you this. So I've always wondered about the disappearances in national park. Too many people go missing with no trace. I think it's in the hundreds and thousands, isn't it? That could be a product of the dog man, of the werewolf, because, you know, or the Yeti or the Bigfoot, right? I mean, is it all these things combined? Maybe UFOs? I mean, what are the, are these a
Sure.
prime component of that? Or are these solely responsible for the disappearances in national parks? Or is it many things?
Well, it's a cumulative
right.
effort, you know.
Right,
I mean,
right, right.
You know, you got the dogmen and the werewolves. I can tell you that annually, according to Victor, approximately 300 deaths are recorded, caused by these creatures. And that is only the ones that have been in the program and only the ones that have been cataloged by this group, this agency. So that doesn't count for any of the unknowns. So that's 300 a year minimum in the United States for sure.
And are they what part, like, so all national, you said all national parks?
All.
So
all.
I would imagine their habitat is mainly forest. They're not in the desert, right? I mean,
you know what's funny is these things do that. The species have subspecies. It's just like dogs. In Afghanistan, in the Middle East, they've been, many of them documented. I've heard many stories from soldiers, Marines, where they've had firefights with packs of these dogmen. But they're smaller and they look more like a coyote, and they're more tan instead of black and brown. So they're all over.
Have you ever seen a picture of any of these? I mean,
I have. I actually it's weird. They have this, there's this technology where you can see pictures, but you're not allowed to keep them. You can't, you can't like save them.
Right.
You can't share them. It's kind of odd. I've seen a few, and I have though, a few pictures of a werewolf, a baby werewolf that's authentic. I should have sent it to you. It's on my phone.
That would
phone.
Have been great.
I'll send it to you so you can see it. It's pretty trippy.
So okay, what's the difference between a dog? Okay, go ahead.
Let's get into the werewolf, okay? Because most researchers,
see, this is the one I have a
they
problem.
They don't know this.
Yeah, this is I can digest the dog man. For some reason, I don't know, that I can just digest that one. What you just said, a werewolf. Now that's new to me. I haven't heard about a werewolf.
Well, look, it's just a name. It's just a name that they gave them. These things don't turn from man to beast.
Okay.
They're always these creatures. They're just a different species. It's imagine a Sasquatch, but instead of primate DNA, it has canine DNA.
Right.
The werewolf looks very much like a Sasquatch. They're much larger than the dogmen. They're 8 to 10 feet tall. They're always on two legs. They have human legs and human feet, with just thick black claws, but shorter. Extremely powerful. You know, they look more like a bodybuilder than they would a wolf.
I've heard that. So maybe ears, some of these dogman accounts are really werewolves.
Yes. The dogman's ears are about 4 inches tall, like really big and straight on the top of their head. Whereas the werewolf ear is more human. It's on the side of the head, a little higher, and it's pointed a little bit up about here. So you can mistake them for Bigfoot, without a doubt.
Could we say
they have no tail?
Could we say maybe that the werewolf is a genetic mix between the dogman and human? Genetic laboratory mix or something. That's the only way I can comprehend this.
According to Victor, the answer would be no, because they discovered them in 1952. You know, cloning and that type of DNA splicing was not readily done on a large basis. I mean, I'm not saying they couldn't have done it, but based on what I know, the answer is no. But I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say I know everything, because I don't.
Could they be
These
fallen
things have
angels?
Human legs, human feet, no tail. They're extremely fast, 45 mile an hour. But the thing that's amazing about them, all right, and here's, I'm going to lose people here. I'm going to lose them. Their IQ measurements of the werewolf since the 50s has been measured at over 100. They average about the same intelligence as the average human. They can read, and they can be taught to speak.
Okay, so that's where you're going to lose. Probably half the audience just right now logged off. That's crazy.
That's okay.
How can they? How do we? I can't. Okay, you just now. I'm just visually picturing a werewolf with reading glasses reading a book. How do they know this? How do you?
Well, because Victor has spent 35 years with them. He spent many, many, many hundreds and hundreds of hours in the enclosure of some of these alpha males that they've had for 35 years. He's known them like they were brothers, like they were friends. He said, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Can the werewolves speak? Or do they just howl? Yeah. Do they bark? What's going on with that? They have
they speak. They can speak.
How come nobody has seen these things?
Well, lots of people have. You know, that's kind of what brings us into the whole government thing, man. According to Victor, there are more than 50 government agencies, three-letter agencies that nobody knows about. None of us. No one's heard of any of these agencies. Most of them are black ops. Most of them are there to hide the things that they do. All right. There are teams and teams of groups that follow these things around and make sure whoever's seen them, whoever's, you know, maybe found a dead one, is either eliminated or gotten to forget what they've seen. And yes, they have memory wipe technology. It's very common. They've been using it for 50 years. They even have it on their cell phone, you know, in the Victor's group. They can choose exactly the time when they want to wipe your memory back to. They figure out when you saw it. Boom, done. You don't remember.
Like Men in Black.
Exactly. It's very common. It's very simplistic. It's not a big deal.
So that exists. You're saying the technology that was used in Men in Black does exist, to where they could just swipe your memory by having you look at a device and it's done.
Yes, it happens. They use that all the time for a lot of things, for Bigfoot type things, dogmen, werewolves, UFOs. The black ops groups have that stuff, and it's not a big deal. They have it literally on their cell phone. I don't know how it works.
You probably have it on
ours. I believe it works with some type of a sound wave frequency technology, but But I've listened to hundreds of these recordings. I've talked to Jeff. You know, there's a lot. There's a lot to this stuff. You know, and there's probably not a lot of questions that I couldn't answer in regards to this.
Well, this makes sense. Like I said, this only makes sense because I know there's something up with national parks. There's just way too many people missing, and I know there has to be something there doing that. And I've heard from other people that there's a lot of, Juan has even told me that there's a massive, serious problem in national parks. Like, there are people that go out there, just people, because they cannot be tracked or traced or anything like that. And there's weirdos out there that just, they go out to national parks to do that. And then I've heard that there's Sasquatch. I've heard that there's dogman. I've heard that there's UFO abductions.
Yes.
And there's more disappearances in national parks than anywhere.
There are different breeds of giants out there. There are, and here's another bit of information that I may lose people on. There are still Neanderthal humans living on this planet. They have been ever since back in the prehistoric human days.
I believe that.
Let me get to what Victor and his group does, other than the breeding programs. I mean, these are full-on breeding programs, hundreds and hundreds of creatures that they breed from birth. They name them, they raise them, they train them like they would a soldier, and they're trained as super soldiers. Once they're trained, they're sent to a part of the country, and they live their lives there. They live deep underground in usually caves, caverns. They have the ability to detect technology. They're very, very, very sensitive to any kind of technology. Like if you go in the woods with a cell phone or something similar, they're going to know you're there from a mile away. In addition, their sense of sight, smell, hearing is infinitely better than us. If they don't want to be found, there is no chance you're finding it.
Right, so, and they also detect trail cams as well. That's what Steve from How to Hunt was telling me, that they're very sensitive to trail cams. Like they see those like lasers going all over the park.
Yeah, they can detect EMF very, very simply. There was a Sasquatch breeding program. I will tell you, in 1967, they were able to capture a male and a female, but they refused to mate. They didn't survive. They tried, but they had to give up the programs because for some reason the Sasquatch was simply not willing to be in captivity under any circumstance.
That
which
makes
was interesting, I thought.
Right.
So let's go to Victor. In his lifetime, all right, these numbers are as of a few months ago, he has killed 844 dogmen, 867 werewolves, and 54 Sasquatch in his lifetime. He's been sent on, you know, however many of that is. What is that, 1,700, something like that. Missions over 35 years. That is what he does. He's trained to track them, hunt them. He knows their habits. He knows everything about them, how they walk, talk, breathe, what they eat. And when a human, they're immediately targeted for termination.
So they've got to know this. The dogmen know this.
Yes.
So what makes them go rogue and do something like this? They go crazy, just like a person does?
Yeah, just like a person who's had been an MK Ultra. I mean, believe me, these creatures don't enjoy this shit. You know, they're, like I said, the werewolves are as smart as humans. They do not like this stuff. They do not like it. They're very well aware of exactly what's going on. The werewolves, that program was more successful. The dogmen program, the dogmen weren't as intelligent. Their IQs are between 60 and 70, which is very smart.
Still smarter than some humans.
Animal. Yes. Yes. So, you know, you got to keep in mind that this information, everything about these creatures is known by the government. Everything. All right. And there's no need to be out there searching for their existence. If you find it, you're going to be silenced, all right? And I found it interesting, you know. I mean, I've been, some of the things I've been following, because Victor, he got the Black Ops project. And his commander, I don't know if he's a 3 or 4 star general, but he was still Black Ops. He was still Dark Hat. And he kept trying to keep Victor from whistleblowing. But he was like, hey, I got permission from the top. So let me just tell this quick story. About maybe 4 or 5 months ago, he was court-martialed. Got approval. They got him court-martialed. They stripped him from his job. They stripped him from being in the service, being a general. He was given an honorable discharge, but everything was taken. All of his bonuses, all of his back pay, his fore pay. And he was sent off on his way. And in the interim, they have closed these breeding programs. They're no longer active as of a few months ago-ish. In addition to that, they sent werewolves, and I don't know exactly how long ago this was. This could have been 6, 7, 8 months ago. With handlers, when werewolves go on missions, a lot of times a human handler is necessary, a trainer. And, you know, long story
Why wouldn't
short,
they just say it would be a lot easier? I mean, we would see a werewolf, you know, in the city. I mean, why wouldn't they just send a person?
Well, he lived out in the middle of nowhere in on a small ranch in Colorado. And you got to understand this guy, brother. This guy would make Rambo kind of look like a joke. You know, he's been basically a trained assassin since birth. 6'6", 275 pounds. Apparently, his biceps are 21 inches, and he's a badass. To be able to hunt creatures, it takes a hell of a dude.
Yeah.
Apparently, they train in the three letter agency. They shoot about 10,000 rounds a week. I mean, everything is done systematically. I mean, that's what they do. Because the funny thing is, a lot of people go out and hunt for these regular people, and they don't make it back. Many times their teams have been called out to retrieve failed hunting expeditions for the dog man or the werewolf.
Really? So there are real people out there that go out there and try to hunt these damn things.
Dude, every time I talk about this stuff, this happens.
That's weird. Yeah, that's strange.
Whenever I talk about this topic, that very thing happens. So
yeah, that just cut out everything, man. Damn.
I know.
That's wild.
That's what I was saying.
That's wild. So,
you know, like I said, I've listened to many, many hundreds of eyewitness testimonies, people that have lost people, stories in regards to these creatures, and they're all the same. The stories are virtually identical. And these creatures, they are able to travel through the trees. They're very,
trees.
Very.
What do you mean, like trees, like monkeys?
Yes, especially the dogmen. They spend time in trees. They can jump from one tree to the next. They can climb a tree. Like, a lot of times they'll put their prey in trees. They'll climb up a tree and hang it from a branch 20 feet up. You know, I don't know. I don't
Almost
know,
like a leopard.
Yeah, similar. So I guess the bottom line is this information, I mean, this isn't my information. This information belongs to humanity. They need to know this stuff. That is why the White Hats sent Victor to be a whistleblower. Okay, this information is real. All of it is true. I met a gentleman who personally had talked to Victor as well. He is another cryptid zoologist. He was an ex-Marine. He currently hunts them. He is not sanctioned by the government to do so, but he's got a group of other ex-Marines, you know, special forces. There's maybe 10 of them, and they travel the country. People will call them. They'll say, look, we got one of these things. We don't want to call the government because we know what's going to happen. Can you guys come out?
So what's the name of this guy's group? What's the name of this guy's group where people can call them?
I do not know if I have permission to go into that. This was very recent, and we didn't go into those kind of details. I don't know the method they want people to reach out to them. Mainly, it's a local area. It's a local. I believe he's out of Tennessee. I will find out if that's something that could be like a national. I don't know if they want people to, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if they want the government knowing what they're
Right,
doing.
right, right, right. I just like, so I guess what I'm trying to say here is that if you see one of these things, who do you call? I mean, like, what if you're out camping? I mean, you have a cabin and you see one of these things, like, what do you do? How do you, what do you
Well,
go on?
I'll tell you exactly how it works and how it's worked for 70 years. What happens is branches of the government that they funnel into one. Okay, so for instance, if you're out in the park, you're going to tell the park ranger, right? All park rangers everywhere in the country and every park ranger office have a phone number they call when this happens, because it happens. Every one of them, every park knows about this shit. All right, so what happens is they call the DNR. It's the Department of Natural Resources. All right. The Department of Natural Resources has had Victor's group, we'll call them, on speed dial. So what happens is it goes from park ranger to DNR straight to the three-letter agency, and those guys are out the next flipping day. By helicopter or however far it is, on scene, on site. They seal it up, close everything down, get everybody who was involved.
Wow.
I mean, this is a very serious operation. I mean, these guys, imagine a Delta
They're
team,
like
imagine
cleanup.
a SEAL Team 6.
Right.
It's similar to that, but much more secretive.
Right,
You know,
because
these
it's essentially cleanup. They come in, they handle the problem. They're the cleanup crew. And they take the werewolf or the dog man out, or if it's a Bigfoot or whatever it is, it went rogue. They're the guys that come in and handle it.
yes,
Wow.
everybody is debriefed. All cell phones are confiscated. Sometimes memory wipes are involved. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're just people, you know, if people have no real hard evidence, they just saw it, they'll just tell you. You're not to speak a word about this. If we find out, we will be coming to see you. There have been people that have gone missing because of that. I need to tell you a quick story. This is right in your neck of the wood, Nino, and this just happened probably 4 months ago. And it has to do with United States Border Patrol, Department of Homeland Security, and a dog man. This has already been on another channel, so I'm not breaking fresh news. Jeff Nadolny, look, brother, I keep trying to get you on a show, but you sort of like your own deal, and I understand that. But this information needs to be told. Anyway, right by El Paso, you know, I can't remember the stupid little town's name, but it's a little town right on the Rio Grande in an area where it's sort of a little thinner and a little less water. Anyway, three Border Patrol doing
Next
their
El
rounds.
Paso,
Huh?
next to El Paso.
Relatively close.
Was it New Mexico or is it Texas?
Dude, it was on the Rio Grande. This happened on the river, physically on the river.
On the okay, because it goes from New Mexico. I'm thinking El Paso is like on the tip of New Mexico and Texas, so it's like we border both and
I'm
Mexico.
sorry, dude. No. It wasn't El Paso. I'm sorry. It was the what's is it Brownsville?
There's
It
Brownsville,
was
there's Eagle Pass, there's
okay. It was the very tip of the Texas Panhandle at the far southern tip.
okay. Okay, well, regardless, go ahead.
It wasn't El Paso. Okay. Anyway. So three Border Patrol, they're doing their thing. They're usually in twos or threes. One's a spotter, one's the sniper, and one is the main guy that kind of makes the decisions. So they're just doing their job one day, about 4 or 5 months ago, and they see a group of illegals. There's about 18 of them. They're starting to come across from the Mexican side across this narrow region of the river. There were men, women, and children, five or six men, five or six women, and a few children. And as they're, you know, as they're watching, they were going to let them get across, then go down, you know, take them in safety. Yeah, I mean, you know the process.
Yeah, Uber service. Better than me. Yeah.
On the American side of the river, behind some bluffs and some weird brush, one of the spotter sees this giant black creature. At first, he thinks it's a buffalo. That's how big it is. But quickly, he realizes that's a freaking wolf. And just, you know, he shows everybody. It's probably 100 yards from the people-ish. And as soon as they see it, it's on all fours. As soon as they see it, it takes off in a sprint. Like lightning, faster than any living creature they've ever seen. Into the water, they said within 3 seconds, about 15 of these people.
Wow. So it massacred them.
All of them. The far two or three people that just started getting into the water, they made it out. They ran in a matter of seconds. At that moment, the rifleman, without any kind of like, you know, shoot him. He took a shot. He hit him in the shoulder, you know, did nothing. The dog man kept, and he took a second shot. He hit him in the lower, in the hip, like almost in the groin, but in the hip. Boom. And he said that one took him down. So he quit attacking. And he was able to run off very, very rapidly. You know, but it was a massacre. It was like a blender. They said it was the most unbelievable thing they've ever seen. Shortly thereafter, the Department of Homeland Security comes in, talks to the three men, reprimands the shit out of them. You know, you had no right taking a shot. You weren't told to take a shot. And the lead guy called Jeff Nadolny because he knew Jeff's channel. Okay. And he reported that story then. All right. He also went to Mexico because he was a Mexican. He has family lived in Mexico. A few days later, the other two Border Patrol wound up dead.
Wow.
One of them had a heart attack at age 30, and one of them had brake failure. Gone. I witnessed them both in the obituaries. They're real. It took place. The other guy is still in Mexico.
And he's probably not coming back.
All the time.
This is crazy. I mean, I'm very open to a lot of things, but this stuff is just so wild that
I'm
intrigued, but I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm not saying that at all. I absolutely believe anything is possible. And I definitely believe this holds water. And I definitely believe in what you're telling me.
Well, let me tell you this. I talked to Jaco about this. I was on Mike Jaco a couple of times, and he's very well aware of these creatures. He did not want to talk much about them on the air because he realizes the involvement of these black ops groups. And this is important too. Simon Park, everybody knows Simon. I've done many shows with Simon. He is also very well aware of the creatures. He told me, and this I didn't know, got in contract, actually signed some type of treaty with these creatures. I don't know if it was werewolf, dogmen, or both. And they were involved in the battles of the Dumbs. They inherently hate reptilians. They helped us a great deal years ago when we were fighting in the Dumbs. And they were on our side, fighting the reptilians and the tall grays and the other grotesque creatures cats have created over the years. And there were many things that are almost unspeakable: mutations, DNA experiments, spider people, lizard people, a lot of really bad stuff. And these dogmen assisted us. And we were very, very pleased about that, because I guess we couldn't have maybe done it without them, or that they were instrumental. Let's put it that way.
That's
so the stuff incredible. Isn't just coming from me, man.
No, I love it. Nick, I want to say thank you for coming on. I want to put this out there. So this is huge. I just have to figure out what I'm going to title this. I think this is YouTube worthy.
I don't know. You know better than me. I have a show on Rumble, not on YouTube anymore. So okay. I don't even know.
All right. Well, I'm going to put this on
I'm going to tell you one more 2-minute story about Bigfoot.
Okay.
To sort of tie in what really goes on.
Okay.
And I talked to this guy myself. All right. This was several years ago. This was before the whole, you know, before the Truther thing. I studied Bigfoot. I stumbled across an ex Special Forces guy. He was Green Beret, I believe. But he was my age, so he was out of the military. But he told me about a time very shortly after Mount St. Helens had erupted in 1980 when he was active. He told me about a time of the cleanup. Apparently, when Mount St. Helens erupted, many, many, many Bigfoots were killed. He was brought in on a mission. He was flown in to an area, to an LZ, a landing zone in near the eruption area. He was set down by the helicopter. They leave, and there was two black vans. And he was sent to go to one of the black vans. You know, he was basically instructed, you'll get your instructions there. Just show up. They open the van. Soldiers are sitting. I think there were 4 soldiers down this row, 2 soldiers, and a Sasquatch sitting in this van. And he got up in the van and sat next to the Sasquatch, who was, you know, he said he was just enormous.
How did he even fit in a van?
Hunched over, but just like a soldier. He was sitting just like a person. And he said that that whole day they drove around, they went to different areas, and the Sasquatch would lead the soldiers to where Bigfoots were, dead ones. They were able to find them, and they would pack them up, put them in tarps, and then helicopters would fly them away, one after another after another. And this Bigfoot worked with this team.
Like reconnaissance.
And that's just what goes on.
Like
that's,
reconnaissance, that's right? Truth. Is that what that's called? Reconnaissance, like recovery and all that? Is that what they were doing to the Bigfoot? I absolutely believe this holds. Well, I do believe this stuff. This is just so out of our.
I know. It is. Because of why? Because of why we talked about the first few minutes of the show. And that's what's important. That's why I wanted to tell some people some really hard things to believe. And it's hard created those boxes. And it's scary to get out of them. You don't want to get ridiculed. You don't want to be called crazy. But it's true. And if you don't believe it, I don't care. It doesn't affect the facts, the truth. Truth stands on its own. It's lies that need believers. Truth doesn't. But it's time for people like us and the followers, and the viewers, to start opening up, broadening our horizons. It's the reason this is taking so long is because the narrowness of some of our focus still. We're still beating the dead horse.
Yeah.
We have got to start broadening. And Nino, I want to tell you on air, I applaud your willingness to learn new things, man. Because usually people's ego won't let them. But you're very willing. You want to learn more. And that's what it takes. It takes the ability to say, you know what? I don't know if this is real. please teach me, tell me, help me. And that's what it takes for all of us.
I don't have limitations. I just believe in all possibilities. I don't put limitations on anything. I just think to me, it's possibilities. Everything is possible. So that's why I'm able to step out of the norm and step out of the box. And I think I believe in all possibilities. God is great. God is everything. So if we can think it, it probably exists. So
these creatures were originally guardians of the planet. They were very, very good. And the wild ones still are. It's just these manipulated creatures. And I will tell you right now, in the United States, there are about 151,000 dogmen and Bigfoot in the United States currently living in national parks. Those are only the ones that have been through the breeding program. We don't know how many wild ones, probably way more than that. But that's kind of gives you an idea. If you see one, it's best to just pretend you didn't and back away and get the hell out of there. Forget about the Victor says that the gun, unless you're a crack shot and you can hit them here while they're running, you're better off just either getting out of there or having a very high dollar bear spray. He said that $100 can of bear spray, the best you can buy, is effective if you happen to encounter one.
Wow.
Or maybe one of those. He said the air horn is not a bad thing with those. But aside from that, it's not going to work.
Wow. Nick, thank you so much. This has been spectacular. I love this stuff, man. This has been so informative and eye-opening, mind-opening. I appreciate you coming on, Nick. Thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. There's lots more. So let me know. I mean, you know, even off camera, I'd be happy to tell you some stories.
Dude, I'm all about it.
We need to.
I'm all about it. Where can people find you?
Well, you can find me on Rumble. It's a show. We talk a lot about interesting and strange things. The Bridge with Nick and Dylan on Rumble.
The Bridge with Nick and Dylan.
So come see us.
You got it. Nick, thank you so much for joining me, man. Take care of yourself. And let's have you on again to talk about this stuff because I love it.
You bet.
Now I got my go-to guy on this.
I got you covered, man.
All right, Nick. Thank you.